Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A quiz of ice and fire.
Hello there, listeners. Thanks for joining us today. And it's time for another quiz of ice and fire. I'm Lady Guinevere, and today I'm bringing you our 15th trivia quiz. And as always, thanks to our generous patrons for their continued support, which unlocked this bonus feature for everyone. And speaking of unlocking features, I want to mention that this month we'll be releasing our second patron exclusive episode. This one is on the Arthurian influences of A Song of Ice and Fire. And so if you're interested in that, or in our other patron exclusive on the Varamyr prologue, head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/radiowesteros to find out how you can join and receive over 3 hours of bonus content. And today, in Yoke Boy's absence for this episode, I'm very happy to welcome back Tara, the Queen Regent of Ice and Fire Con, the fan convention dedicated to A Song of Ice and Fire and Game of Thrones, held annually in April, and now this year in its 7th year. Welcome back to Radio Westeros, Tara.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be with you guys again.
Well, it is great to have you, and we are both of us are looking forward to seeing you in April in Ohio.
Yeah, I'm really excited to finally get to meet Yoke Boy.
Yeah, we finally got him over here permanently, and so yeah, we will both be there. You guys have just released the convention programming schedule, mm-hmm. and there is so much awesome programming in store for us this year.
Yeah. I've already had a few people make comments about, you know, oh, like the only problem is there's so much going on. It's like, well,
yeah, that's a good problem to have, but definitely there are days when I'm like, oh, yeah, I would like to do, you know, multiple things at the same time. There aren't two of me, so I'll have to choose.
But yeah, we do have a couple, you know, a couple time periods where, you know, there's only one thing going on, but I think it's like twice a day at most this year, which is a lot less than previous mm-hmm. years. So
I will be sitting on two panels and doing a presentation, and there's a couple of meetups, and obviously really looking forward to a lot of the other things like the Faceless Man game, which, you know, I felt like last year I was doing really well for about 10 hours. I thought I was going to dominate, and then just all went downhill pretty quickly for me, but it was still fun.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the previous year, it was the year before. It was 2016, so several years ago now. The power went out, and there was like a killing spree in the Faceless Man game. I think like half the people died, and the game had literally just started, maybe 30 minutes or so at most before the power went out. So there were a lot of people that got taken out really quick. I hear tell that there may be some revamping of the game going on this year. It's still going to be Faceless Men, but there might be like a theme or something to it possibly. So
cool. Well, look forward to hearing about that. And more about the convention. So listeners, if you are planning to come to Ice and Fire Con and you don't have your tickets yet, make sure that you get them soon. Tara, tell us your website.
It's iceandfirecon.com. And then it really, if you just want to go directly to the store, it's iceandfirecon.com/store. And the tickets, they're $90 each before any discount codes or whatever through the end of this month. But then on March 1st, they do go up to $100. So,
yeah. Okay. So do it quickly if you're on the fence and you're, you know, planning to go, get them this month and use the code RADIO, R-A-D-I-O, for $5 off. So, all right. Now I think it's time we get started with this quiz. If you guys are keeping score, get your pen and paper handy or however you keep track. We have 15 questions. Today's topic is, once again, characters. This is our fourth venture into this huge world of characters. As always, we're going to be looking for both major and minor characters, and all the answers can be found in the main series. So get ready, see how many you can score. Remember, we love to hear your scores on social media, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, on our Patreon page, and so on. Let us know. And now let's get started, and we'll go over to Tara for question one.
All right. Which character was present at the tourney of Harrenhal, taking part in the melee, held a drinking contest with Sir Richard Longmouth and won, but then failed to unmask the mystery knight known as the Knight of the Laughing Tree?
Okay. Question two. Allegedly found in a Lysine pillow house, which character went on to become the second wife of the Pentoshi cheesemonger Illyrio Mopatis? As the big man tells it, she caught the gray plague, which is a swifter form of grayscale, and died, leaving behind just her picture and a pair of stone hands.
All right, the third question is, which foolish companion is rumored to have once killed a man for not laughing at his japes?
Question four. Which member of Ned Stark's sortie who fought against three Kingsguard at the Tower of Joy was remembered as faithful and hailed from a northern mountain clan?
Oh, that one's hard. All right. Question number five. Which son of Tormund Giantsbane could have put up a fight when Longspear Rick came to steal his sister Munda, but instead slept through the action?
Okay, so Tormund's son. Now, question six is, which Ironborn, who put himself forward at the King's Moot, favors fighting with a monstrous hammer, although his age, weight, and general immobility prevent his involvement in too much action?
That one, I actually would be able to guess that one, I think. I don't want to say anything, though. I don't want to give it away. The Kingsmoot, there were a lot of people at the Kingsmoot, but some of them stand out more than others. All right. Question number seven is, which Archmaester of the Citadel boasts a ring, rod, and mask of black iron for his expertise in Ravencraft, but in spite of this, his abilities as a maester are greatly diminished due to the fact that he's lost his wits?
Witless Maester. All right, question eight. Which large-eared character who wears an ermine mantle is locked in a loveless marriage but has found a new faith to occupy herself with?
You know, I forgot that this person has or wore an ermine mantle. I feel like that's one of those kind of medieval things where kings and queens and everybody, like, and noblemen, like, wore them all the time, but they're not mentioned as much as you would think in this series. because they were very popular.
Yeah, as a symbol of royalty, right?
Well, yeah, because I mean, to make them, you need to kill a lot of ermines. They're very tiny animals. They're little weasels. Yeah. So you got right. The ones that have all the black spot, you know, they when they have a bunch of black spots on the cape, every single one of those is the tail of an ermine.
Right. So imagine.
So many ermines. Okay. Question number 9. Which character, named for his watery eyes, becomes feared for cutting out the eyes of his adversaries?
Ooh, we didn't even give a clue as to where he is. So, that might be tough.
Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed this based on the question at all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good luck, folks. Question 10. Here's another one that's tends to be a stumper. The Kettle Blacks. The Kettle Black brothers do have a history of stumping people, myself included. But we always keep coming back to them as we're very unkind. But now we want to know who's their father. Beware, because his name really sounds just like his son's.
All right, question number 11. Which character is captain of the guards at the Eyrie and the man chosen to fight at Tyrion's trial by combat there?
Yeah, can you remember that? Seems like so long ago.
Yes, it really does. And I don't even know if, you know, if they name him in the show, really. But, you know, and even in the books, he's kind of he's there and gone.
And yeah, I think in the show, he's probably one of those characters that has a name, but probably if you're just watching the show, you would never know that he mm-hmm. is who he is. So now, once again, going into evil territory, we're going to Meereen. Which Giscari character is a captain of the Stormcrow's sellsword company? That is, until his fellow captain, Dario Naharis, kills him and their third, Sellor the Bald, and brings the Stormcrows over to the side of Daenerys Targaryen. So we're looking for the Giscari captain, who was one of the original three Stormcrows.
Which, you know, good luck with Giscari names.
We have to throw one of these names in every time.
All right. Question number 13. Which member of the King's Guard, known to have served Robert and Joffrey, broke his King's Guard vows by meeting a draper's wife in King's Landing while her husband was away?
Yeah. This guy, again, kind of like the guy in your last question, there and gone. mm-hmm. Can you remember which one we are looking for?
I mean, honestly, based on this question, I would not have remembered.
No. Tricky. So, see what you all come up with for that one. Question 14 now is, which character was named for an animal with excellent climbing skills? She puts these skills to good use when she infiltrates Winterfell with Mance Rayder as a washerwoman. She's ultimately the one chosen to switch clothes with Jane Poole and climb out the window so that Jane can escape wearing her gray outfit. Which animal or person's name are we looking for?
All right, question number 15, which is the last one. Which character was the sister wife of Aerys II and the mother of dragons?
Okay, so hopefully we've redeemed ourselves for the Giscari question with one, maybe a softball there. Anyways, those are the 15 questions. We will be right back after this with the answers.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, and we are back now, and time for some answers. We'll recap the questions and then run through the answers for you.
All right. So the first question was, which character was present at the tourney of Harrenhal, took part in the melee, had a drinking contest with Sir Richard Lonmouth, and won that, but then unfailed to unmask the mystery knight, as known as the Knight of the Laughing Tree? And the answer is Robert Baratheon.
That's right. I hope you got that one. Or if you didn't, here's a quote from Mira Reed's account of the tourney of Harrenhal, where she refers to characters by their nicknames or sigils. The Stormlord drank down the Knight of Skulls and Kisses in a wine cup war. So, of course, Robert is the Stormlord, and Richard Lonmouth, who was Rhaegar's squire once upon a time, is the Knight of Skulls and Kisses. And in case you don't know our juicy theory on Richard Lonmouth, check out Radio Westeros, Episode 9, all about the Brotherhood Without Banners, and see what we have to say about him.
And of course, it was Robert who was in the drinking contest, you know?
Yes, of course. Robert, the thirsty boy. I mean, who would have guessed, right? I mean, that should have been enough of a hint, really. Okay, so question two had to do with a character who was the second wife of Illyrio Mopatis. She died of the Grey Plague and left behind nothing but her stone hands and her picture in a locket. And it was Sarah.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to, you know, quote about her, Illyrio says that I found her in a Lyseni pillow house and brought her home to warm my bed, but in the end I wed her, me whose first wife had been a cousin of the Prince of Pentos. The palace gates were closed to me thereafter, but I did not care. The price was small enough for Sarah. The fact that he kept the hands is a bit odd to me. I was under the impression that when somebody had like grayscale or the gray plague, you weren't supposed to touch them. But I guess maybe once they've died, it doesn't matter anymore. I honestly didn't know that.
I don't know what to make of that. I think the first time I read it, I thought it was, you know, like a mold of her hands.
Yeah, or carving. But
I think he literally says, I keep her hands in my bedchamber. So
Illyrio.
Very strange. Illyrio. Let's just hope they're not actually, you know, contagious.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to guess that there's something, maybe there's something about once the person is, you know, once there's no life to them, it can't be passed on somehow, but still creepy. Ugh.
Still creepy, yes.
Yeah. All right, question number three was a short one. Which foolish companion is rumored to have once killed a man for not laughing at his japes? And the answer to that is Shagwell.
Yep, Shagwell. Foolish because he is in fact a fool. And a companion because he's a member of the Brave Companions. And remember that he well earns his death out on the Whispers, at the sword of, or the hands of Brienne of Tarth. But it is in Arya 9 in A Clash of Kings that we actually hear this rumor that he murdered a man for not finding him funny. And knowing the Brave Companions, it is not hard to believe that at all. So, okay, question four, maybe a little challenging. Which member of Ned's group at the Tower of Joy was remembered as faithful and came from one of the Northern Mountain clans? And that was Theo Wool.
And I honestly am not sure if he's even ever mentioned outside of Ned's fever dream. And even then, it's very brief. The passage says, he dreamt an old dream of three knights in white cloaks in a tower long fallen, and Lyanna in her bed of blood. In the dream, his friends rode with him as they had in life. Proud Martin Cassell, Jory's father, faithful Theo Wool, Ethan Glover, who had been Brandon's squire, Sir Mark Riswell, soft of speech and gentle of heart, the Crannogman, Howland Reed, Lord Dustin on his great red stallion.
Yep, he's mentioned that once, and then one more time in the entire canon. So so if you got that, very good for you.
I feel like you guys writing these questions is how we write our trivia questions for the trivia game at the convention. Yeah.
We try to be fair, but then, you know, you have to challenge people, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So, you know, and sometimes you have to be a little bit evil, like when you dip into those Giscari names.
Okay, so question number five, which son of Tormund Giantsbane could have put up a fight when Longspear Rick came to steal his sister, but he actually slept through the whole thing instead, and his name was Toreg.
Yeah, Toreg, and I think that Tormund has more than one son, and they all kind of start with Tor. So if you got Toreg, very good for you. Tall Toreg, he's called, is actually his father's right-hand man in A Dance with Dragons. And he might have plans to steal a woman of his own, because it seems like he's developed quite a liking for Dalla's sister Val.
Yeah, good luck with that, Tor.
Yeah. He might have to console himself with just making eyes at her or something. I don't know. Mm. Okay, question six was, which Ironborn who put himself forward at the Kingsmoot favors fighting with that giant hammer, although he's so old and enormous that he actually can't hardly lift it, if I recall correctly. And the answer is Eric Ironmaker.
Yeah, he's 22 stone and 88 years old. He's carried around on, I believe, like a litter. And by the end of Dance of Dragons, he's actually married to Asha Greyjoy, which I'm sure he's super happy about. But she, on the other hand, not so much. You know, Euron kind of forced her hand, and she wasn't even there. So that's a real thing. That's a thing that really happened, but I can't imagine that Asha's really going to be putting up with it, you know, if or when she ever gets back to the Iron Islands.
No, I can't see her going back there. And, you know, since it's technically not official until it's consummated, yeah, I don't think we'll be seeing that, especially in light of his age and her current situation. So, I guess we'll have to see.
All right, question number seven is, which Archmaester of the Citadel boasts a ring, rod, and mask of black iron for his expertise in Ravencraft, but he doesn't really do much around the Citadel anymore because he's completely lost his mind, pretty much. And that is Maester Walgrave.
That's right. We learn about Walgrave in the A Feast for Crows prologue. Pate is the one who serves him. Here are his thoughts on the old man. He thinks, if he remembers who I am today, Archmaester Walgrave had no trouble telling one raven from another, but he wasn't so good with people. Some days he seemed to think Pate was someone named Cressen. And there's a nice kind of link between the prologues of Feast and Clash right there, with the mention of Cressen. Apparently maybe served Walgrave in the same capacity as Pate at some point in the past.
Which is crazy because Cresson wasn't young either. So how old is Walgrave? I'm sure there might be a approximate birth year for him on the Wiki of Ice and Fire or whatever, but
there's got to be like, he's got to be ancient.
Yeah.
That's right. Cresson was very old. So, yeah, I guess it's no wonder Walgrave is kind of bonkers. Poor old dude. Okay. And that brings us to question 8, which had to do with a large-eared character wearing an ermine mantle, locked in a loveless marriage, but keeping herself very busy with a newfound faith. And the answer is Selyse Baratheon.
Yeah, I feel like we hear about her ears quite a bit. They are definitely a Florent thing because there's several other Florent members of the Florent family that we meet who, you know, they also mention their ears. But she, you know, despite having a cold relationship with Stannis, she warms up quite a bit to Melisandre and the Lord of Light. She has a faction named after her. Stannis, you know, the people in his ranks who follow Melisandre and the Red God are called the Queen's Men. And here's a passage that talks about what she and the Queen's Men are up to during a clash of kings. Dragonstone Sept had been where Aegon the Conqueror knelt to pray the night before he sailed. That had not saved it from the Queen's Men. They had overturned the altars, pulled down the statues, and smashed the stained glass with war hammers. Rude.
Very rude. Yes. They're just as rude in A Dance with Dragons up at the wall. So, you know, we'll see what happens after what's going on at Castle Black at the end of Dance. We might be a little concerned for what's going to happen to Selyse, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Hopefully not too much longer.
You said it.
I'm being hopeful, not saying anything
right.
Bad.
Right.
Okay, question number 9. Which character who was named for his watery eyes was, you know, people feared him because he apparently cut out the eyes of his adversaries, and that is the Weeper, which I honestly would have guessed someone in the Brave Companions. So,
I realized that, you know, part of the clue did not say where this fellow would be found. And of course, he's a wildling. Maybe that would have given it away, though. In this case, his adversaries, of course, are the Night's Watch because he's a wildling. And here's what Mance Rayder has to say about the Weeper in A Dance with Dragons. Cutting out the eyes? That's the Weeper's work. The best crow's a blind crow, he likes to say. Sometimes I think he'd like to cut out his own eyes, the way they're always watering and itching. Snow's been assuming the free folk would turn to Tormund to lead them, because that's what he would do. He liked Tormund, and the old fraud liked him too. If it's the Weeper, though, that's not good. Not for him, and not for us. So, he's an unpleasant wildling.
Well, there are quite a few of those.
There are. Well, maybe they all kind of blend together to me. And maybe some of you as well. Speaking of people who blend together, the Kettle Blacks. This time, question 10, we wanted to know the name of the Kettle Black father. And the father is Oswell.
Yeah, we don't really know much about him. He definitely has some, you know, long-term ties with Littlefinger. And of course, he is the person who hires the dwarf jousters, Penny and Oppo, at the Purple Wedding, and then waits for Dantos and Sansa on a skiff in Blackwater Bay to take them out to the Merlin King, Littlefinger's ship. Question number 11 is, which character is the captain of the guards at the Eyrie? And he is the person who fights at Tyrion's trial by combat against Bronn, and that is Ser Vardis Egan.
Yeah, that's right, Vardis Egan. He was there, and then he was gone. Out the moon door, I believe. Eventually, he did lose that trial to Bronn, And we got a good description of him at the beginning of their fight, which I kind of like it for his very elaborate armor. So Sir Vardis Egan was in steel from head to heel, encased in heavy plate armor over mail and padded surcoat, large circular rondels enameled cream and blue in the moon and falcon sigil of House Arryn protected the vulnerable juncture of arm and breast. A skirt of lobstered metal covered him from waist to mid-thigh, while a solid gorget encircled his throat. Falcon's wings sprouted from the temples of his helm, and his visor was a pointed metal beak with a narrow slit for vision. And remember that Bronn made the most of that very elaborate armor. I think, was he just wearing boiled leather?
Or yes,
maybe a little mail, but...
I feel like this is like a one-on-one trial by combat. Not a huge crowd of people are watching. You don't need to look like you're going, you know, to compete in a melee or a joust.
Yeah, no, it was a little over the top. And he clearly just thought he was going to have an easy time of it. But
or just maybe he didn't have his everyday armor with him at the Arryn.
Maybe that's true. And remember that he actually fought with John Arryn's sword. And I remember in Catelyn's point of view, she thought that was probably a mistake, because when you're fighting for your life, it's probably best to just use your own sword that you're comfortable with. So anyways, lots of mistakes by Vardis Egan, and he exited the plot pretty early. So on to question 12, which was the Giscari question. One of the three original captains of the Stormcrows. You had Dario Naharis, Salor the Bald, and this guy, Prendal Nagezin.
Well, and I mean, you can't really fault Dario for getting rid of the other two captains, because what sellsword company needs three captains? I mean, it's so much easier to just have one. But when Dario brings Dany these gifts to prove his new allegiance, he says, "Khaleesi, I bring gifts and glad tidings. The Stormcrows are yours." A golden tooth gleamed in his mouth when he smiled, and so is Dario Naharis. Dany was dubious. If this Tyroshi had come to spy, this declaration might be no more than a desperate plot to save his head. What do Prendal Nagezin and Salor say of this? Little. Dario upended the sack, and the heads of Salor the Bald and Prendal Nagezin spilled out upon her carpets. My gifts to the Dragon Queen. Some pretty grisly gifts.
Very grisly. I remember really liking that scene in the show. I don't know why. The bag of heads, really.
Well, and it's also nice when they do something, when they do things in the show that are actually, you know, close or
right,
exact to what we read in the books. You know, you see it and you're like, okay, yeah, I picture it being like this.
Cool. Yes, there we go. And I think if I remember, that was the original Dario, who was my preferred Dario.
Yes, yes, it was.
Oh, well. Right.
Question number 13, which member of the Kingsguard served Robert and Joffrey and broke his Kingsguard vows by meeting a draper's wife in King's Landing while her husband was away? And that would be Preston Greenfield.
Yeah, another one. Come and gone pretty quickly early in the plot. He was undone by the mad mob during the Bread Riots in A Clash of Kings. But we actually learn about his vow breaking via Aerys Okart in A Feast for Crows, while Aerys is breaking his own vows with Arianne Martell and being quite angsty about it.
Yeah, so even though Preston was gone since, you know, Clash of Kings, he is brought back, you know, two books later.
Yeah,
so
he's brought back in discussion as, you know, Aerys is, I guess, trying to justify what he's doing, or I don't know. Poor Aerys.
I mean, there's something about all of these vows of celibacy that don't seem to go over all that well.
No, for the most part, you know, destined to fail, I guess. All right. Well, question 14, a character named for an animal that has excellent climbing skills. She's one of the washerwomen who was chosen to switch clothes with Jane Poole and climb out from the window of Jane's tower room at Winterfell so that Jane could be smuggled out in her gray clothes. And the spearwife's name is Squirrel.
And of course, you know, we find out by the end of Dance of Dragons from the Pink Letter that supposedly Mance has been captured and the spearwives were all flayed and Mance is wearing their skins, including Squirrel's, which, maybe we'll find out that's not quite the case.
I hope.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Let's hope.
All right. And last but not least, which character was the sister wife of the Mad King, making her the mother of the Mother of Dragons, Dany? And that is Rhaella Targaryen.
That's right. Now, given her position as a former queen, we actually hear very little about Rhaella in the course of five books. And even in the histories, not much is said about her as a person, but check out our episode on prophecies. That's episode 21. If you want to hear our crackpot about what she might be up to now. Yes, you heard me. What she might be up to now. Or come and see me at Ice and Fire Con, where I just might be cosplaying Rhaella as she is now. Hint, hint, not exactly dead. So anyways, that's just our fun crackpot. Anyways, regardless of that, she had a very sad life, shortened by Daenerys's birth. She died in childbirth. And Dany recalls with sadness how Viserys eventually had to sell her crown for them to survive. It says, when Viserys sold their mother's crown, the last joy had gone from him, leaving only rage. Oh, Viserys.
You know, I feel bad for who he probably was before, you know, he just lost those last vestiges of his life before. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I think... well, with lines like that and other things that you learn about him, I mean, George does a really good job of making us feel sorry for Viserys. I mean, he also had a very sad life, so. And a sad ending. And speaking of endings, that is our ending. We are through with our 15 questions. Let us know how you did. And Tara, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have you back with us. We will be seeing you soon. How long is it now?
Gosh, it's like just under 3 months. It's the convention officially starts on Thursday, April 25th. I actually am sad that the 3 month mark came and went and I didn't make a big to do about it. Even on like my personal Twitter and everything, it kind of came and went. And then, you know, the 1st of February showed up and I was like, oh crap, Ice and Fire Con will be over in less than 3 months. Right. So yeah, yeah.
Well, that's good because, you know, that means spring is on the way too. And it was 65 degrees here in New England today, February 5th.
Oh my gosh.
So I was thinking about spring and thinking about Ice and Fire Con because.
Well, let's hope that it's that warm at Ice and Fire Con this year. It was a little chilly last year.
Yeah, it was kind of like hit or miss. We had good, like one day was good, I think, and then it was a little chilly one day. Yeah,
yeah, I want to say Friday was nice. It was very sunny, but it was still chilly. And then Saturday was cold, cold. But we do, weirdly enough, we have this every other year thing where odd years are in the past have always been warm and even years have always been cold. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that that continues this year.
Yeah, me too. I'm ready for some warmth. So, okay. So, head on over to iceandfirecon.com to get your weekend passes if you haven't already. And thanks again, Tara, for being with us. And thank you all for listening. Once again, let us know how you did. Facebook, Twitter, Patreon, YouTube, however, send us a smoke signal. Let us know. We love hearing from you. And very soon, we'll be back with a regular episode. And don't forget to check out our Patreon if you're interested in those exclusive episodes, including the new one that will be coming out this month. So that's all for now. We will see you again real soon. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.